tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the call go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is Wednesday, the 12th of November, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Now, I don't know if y'all ever heard that song before. I've only heard this song recently. In fact, it's me. I am the problem. Because I didn't even know Papa Smurf did make rake and scrape music like that. I know Papa Smurf from I Am a Bahamian. See, that's an anthem. When I was in school, when I was in university, that was an anthem. Right? But here Papa Smurf is making rake and scrape. And let me tell you something. Just some sweet down-home rake and scrape. It's like the old school. I love it. Because I'm getting old. And I love loving things differently as I get older, right? That song right there. I don't know what exactly, but I'm still not sure if I'm old enough to know what the song means. I think I know what the song means, and I think we're going to be exploring some of those themes this morning in this conversation. But I just wanted to say, Papa Smurf, where you been all my life? Anyway, it's just a little sweet song. We'll be playing a little bit of music today, not much. I have guests in studio. We're talking about a local documentary, right? Now, this local documentary, some people say it's controversial. Some people say it's powerful, right? It's impactful. When you watch this documentary, you feel it. You feel the stories of the people who look just like you. So I have some guests in studio today, and we're going to be exploring some of those themes. Now, it's November. November 25th is the day to eliminate violence against women and girls. Are we having a conversation that expands or extends beyond that category, right? We're talking about gender-based violence. And we know that we call it gender-based violence because both men and women experience gender-based violence. It's called gender-based violence because we recognize that men and women may be subject to the same forms of violence, but experience it differently. Also, that men and women are some two different forms of violence. And sometimes we don't recognize those acts as violence, particularly, right, when we're looking at women alone or men alone. And now all of my guests have joined me in studio. I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves. But before we get there, I just want to make a small connection. So we're talking about gender-based violence today. But I, because I'm a woman and I'm flighty, right? That's what y'all like to say, we flighty. I call it multidimensional, right? I always have a couple things in my brain at the same time. And I want to make a connection between gender-based violence and violence, gender violence, and driving. Because I can tell you why. Because we have manifested over the last couple of decades, we forgot what a stop sign is, right? See, there's that big red thing with four letters that say STOP. In fact, in some jurisdictions, we need to say STOP because when you see the symbol, you know that it means to stop, right? So at the point I am in my interrogation, what I want to know is it that we have forgotten what a stop sign is, or is it that we have forgotten the dangers of not adhering to stop signs? See, now, when I talk about stop signs, you all often think of traffic, but there are other types of stop signs, and there's a very important one, and that stop sign is consent, right? And when we talk about leaving sight, one of the things you should be able to read in a space are signs, and a stop sign in particular. See, when you go to the club and you're looking at all the beautiful pies, some are male pies, some are female pies, you're looking at all the beautiful pies and you have to decide which pie you could eat or you could try to take home. You have to have a discerning eye because the stop signs are right there. And I can tell you in my lifetime, I've been on both sides of this coin. As a young person with no good sense, I was in the club. And thank God there were adults around. In fact, I don't know what that man's name is, but I want to say thank you, sir. Because he saw a stop sign, and that boy put on brakes right away. Asked me if I wanted a drink. I said, ginger ale. He said, huh? But I could see you in the club. Why you only wanted ginger ale? Right? And he looked at how I was dressed. And he said, how old are you? And when I told him, he said, who are you here with? Take me to them. So they could see me leaving you with them. I was so grateful for that moment. Because even in the moment, I realized that that boy saw a stop sign and he adhered to it. Right? So I've been on that side. And I've been on the other side where I was working, handing out condoms and information about sexual health outside a club. It was a gay club. A young lady got mad at me because I refused to give her a package. She came back out of the club and she rowed me and cussed me in front of the security guard. And I had to explain to her, young ma'am, young lady, I could tell you not 18. And it's against the law for me to give you this information because you were under the age of 18. And I had to look at that security guard and say, and if he sees me do it, it's his responsibility to stop me. And if I don't stop, if I carry on bad with him, he's supposed to take down as much information as he can about me and report me to the police. Because it's a stop sign. Now, don't mind about being in and out of the club. I don't know what Secure was doing. I knew what I was doing. And what I was doing was adhering to stop signs. Right? So anyway, tomorrow's show may be brought to you by that red light at East Street and Bay Street that don't like to wake properly. But today's show, we're talking about the documentary Two-Faced, Gender Equality in the Bahamas, and Where Do We Go From Here? I'm going to ask my guests to introduce themselves. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jessica Minnis, and I'm a faculty member in the School of Social Sciences at the University of the Bahamas.
Hi, I'm Richard Adley, and I'm a faculty member in the Psychology Department, School of Social Sciences, University of the Bahamas.
Hi, I'm Gaynell Curry. Good to see you, Aaron.
Good morning.
And good morning, Bahamas. Yes, I'm with the LLB program, the law program at the University of the Bahamas. I'm the head of the department.
Okay. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, so let me give you like a little brief write-up on the documentary. Despite marketing itself as a world-class tourist destination and the gem of the Caribbean, the Bahamas has had the highest incidence of rape per capita in the world consistently since 2007. Two-Faced, Gender Equality in the Bahamas is a documentary that explores this rape culture, a constitution that discriminates against women, the lack of women's rights in the country, their refusal to criminalize marital rape, and the root cause of gender inequality in the country. Documentary is framed by IMBD. DB, International Movie Database. The documentary spotlights the oftentimes taboo topic of gender equality in the Bahamas. It was produced by Erica Mariah James, PhD, Marion Bethel Sayers, Patrice Thompson, Alicia Wallace, and Gina Rogers Seeley. So good morning.
Good morning.
Let's get into it. So where do we go from here? I know where I going from here. The first thing I can do is send out a plea to men. You all pay attention. You're victims of gender-based violence as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
That's one of the first things I could do. I have some other things in my little toolkit, but they're rude and perhaps unnecessary, you know? Mm-hmm. But the first thing I can do is I'm going to tell men, listen, this conversation is about you also. It's not just about men as perpetrators. It's also about men and the space within which they are also victims. Mm-hmm. But where are we going to start as a collective?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what we're doing with, first of all, the School of Social Sciences will be posting a panel discussion called Two-Faced, How Do We Change the Culture of Gender-Based Violence in the Bahamian Society? We're using the Two-Faced Gender Inequality documentary as the backdrop, as the context for starting the panel by showing that it puts whatever the panelists are going to say because they're going to get information about how do we change the culture of violence. And so it's just a very short snippet of the documentary. And then we're going to ask, we have several panelists to address that issue about how do we change. We know that it exists. We know that there are different organizations in the community that address these issues, but we want to also carry it further. We also want to continue the dialogue. We want to also come up with different ways or find ways that we can change this culture of violence. So because if we can do that, then we will at least reduce the gender-based violence mm-hmm. against men and women. And I'm glad you brought that point up about men can also be abused. And that's also a sociological, cultural,
psychological
right, yeah. issue that we really need to address. And I'm hoping that we're hoping, Gaynell, Dr. Adley and myself, from this panel discussion that more talk like this will begin and carry it through the community, the stigma away, because there is a stigma attached, and especially to males, because the socialization that they receive both from the media, from the family, from their peers is strong.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to break that as much as possible. To let them know that there is no, like you said, there is no shame in being abused, and there are avenues and there are agencies out there that can deal with that, can address
that. Can provide support,
yes,
and help you create your own environment for healing.
That's correct.
It's two things I think about with men, right? Where they are victims, and if that's left unprocessed, they become victimizers,
yes,
right?
Correct.
And I often say, listen, we have to have a degree of empathy in the space while we're working, because I think that a lot of the intensity of violence meted out by some men or experienced by some women in these interpersonal conflicts is rooted in an unprocessed trauma with mothers. And we talk about the socialization, that we put mothers on a pedestal and we leave no space for young people to reconcile with the fallibility of parents and of mothers, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of young men are experiencing a type of trauma in a relationship with a mother who is unable to separate the role of like of motherhood and sort of and then managing a single household. So you sort of walk this line between you become your mother's emotional crutch or support, right? And then when puberty hits and you begin changing and smelling different because you're smelling more like a man, your hormones have changed. A mother may have difficulty reconciling with you as a boy child as opposed to a man friend. Mm-hmm. Another instance I saw just this morning on the way into studio, an American video where two boys are approached by neighbors, two neighbors who want to beat them up, and they immediately do the right thing. They go to the house. And you could see they don't want to fight. But when they get in the house and they tell their mother what is happening outside, she does a couple of things. The first thing she does is grabs a weapon and puts it in her back pocket. The thing she does is she starts telling them, nobody's going to beat up on my boys. We're going to fight them. And she put Vaseline on their face. And she went out with them to fight. Right. But what these young men came to the house to do the right thing, to not fight. And here you are telling them that I will not be pleased. You will not be a man in my eyes. Until you go, and she went with them, right? Now, they say she went with them, but until you go out there and fight them. And I thought, what are these young men supposed to do? How are they supposed to reconcile with the real world, the world outside of their community and outside of that sort of community violence?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the benefits of the panel discussion next week. We want, for the first time, to move from just talking to action. You know, for a long time, we come together, we discuss, and it's almost as if we're climbing up the same tree all over again. Mm-hmm. This time, we want to look at it from a totally different point of view. So we're going to move from awareness to action. Okay. And what does action mean? Action means that we have to challenge some of the beliefs. You see, what is a man, okay? Mm-hmm. What are his rights? When you were talking about the stop sign, you know, I just visualized it. And the stop sign is there. People are aware that you're supposed to stop. But we've got folks who just say, it doesn't apply to me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do what I want to do regardless of what it's there. I'm just going to do what I need to do, you see. And so we now have to challenge this, I can do whatever I want to do. And get them to realize again that this is a sign. It says stop. It means stop. And so you stop. Mm-hmm. And so challenging beliefs, but we also have to challenge behaviors. Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you were talking again, I thought about Bandura, social learning theory. Mm-hmm. And we do mimic the environment that we grow up in. Mm-hmm. You see? And so if we've the research shows that if I grow up in an environment where men beat women, then I'm at high risk. Mm-hmm. That I'm going to deal with it in that way. If I saw my mother beaten, okay, that's what dad did. When mom got out of hand, he gave her a good cut up. And so chances are I may follow in that path. The same thing for young women. They grew up in homes where they saw mom just sit there and take it. Mm-hmm. And so a part of their style is that's acceptable.
And in the reverse, if a young lady grows up in a home where the mother is physically and psychologically, maybe even financially abusive to the man, right? She may mimic those patterns and then rationalize it, begin to rationalize her behavior. Mm-hmm. Now, I got a caller. I want to take the caller because the conversation is kind of heavy. Sometimes we stir up emotions in people. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
You hear me?
I can hear you now.
Good. I don't know what your subject is today, but I just want to call you to let you know that my name is Teddy Johnson, and I'm calling. Tomorrow would be the 60th anniversary of the SSM Castle when it sank some 60 years ago. So just calling you to let you know that you can put in a plug for us.
Okay, I will do. But, sir, can I ask you to send some information to email address or WhatsApp address?
WhatsApp, yes. If all you get, call my number, 813-4877. I can do that.
Okay, 813-4877. Yes, sir, I'm going to give you a call so I can put together a little write-up for tomorrow's show.
Thank you, my dear.
Well, absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. You know. Yesterday, I gave a presentation at a class at UB on the importance of free press. And I talked about the press, the media, as being our collective memory and how important it is to protect it, to feed it. Authorities are included and recognized and acknowledged in this collective memory. And I think about the power of memory. And you know, memory can be a weapon. And in terms of moving forward with this discussion, you know, people expect me to sort of rage against men, and they kind of get disappointed because I think to move forward, we have to acknowledge the spaces within which men are also victims, right? And we have to acknowledge the ways in which women also can and do perpetuate violence because nothing's going to work unless we come to a place of trust.
Yeah, that's important. I want to just jump in here, Erin, to say that for me it was very important that we look, that we take this discussion forward. I think we know what the challenges are, although I will add, and I was listening to Richard's comment, and I've said this repeatedly, I've been working on this issue for many, many years, that we still haven't dug into the root causes of the violence in the Bahamas. And to me, it yes, you mentioned some of it, family relations, you know, and so forth, poverty, if you know, what does that have to do with it? The anxiety, the trauma.
You talk about poverty.
Yeah.
Violence exists in all class levels,
yeah.
Right?
That's why I want to bring it in. But you mentioned something that caused me to say poverty, but when we did this discussion, when we decided to do this, one of the things we thought about, and so we hooked it into the 16 days of activism against violence, but gender-based violence, and know that this is a global issue. Mm-hmm. So it's in the global north and the global south. So I'm not trying to suggest that it's only poverty or poor people.
And brown and black skin people.
In black and brown societies or communities. I want to say it's a global challenge. But for us, I think in the Bahamas and the Caribbean, I had the occasion to look at this issue several years ago when we talked about root causes. And I went with a special rapporteur to Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad, Dominica. And we did it also here. What was really interesting for us is the normalization of violence across this region. And so we started thinking about where does this come from? And so going even deeper, how much, because the trauma lives with us, even through generations. And I believe that trauma is linked also to our history of enslavement, colonialism, and the violence that was perpetrated during that period. And it's almost the attack on the family in a sense that women's bodies could be anybody's bodies, particularly during, you know, after the slave trade ended and before emancipation. How were our masters getting their
comfort?
Comfort, and also how were they getting new slaves, right?
Yes.
They were reproducing them, essentially. So women at that time, young girls, very early, even as young as 12, were reproducing because you needed more slaves. So this kind of trauma on the body,
I don't know that it necessarily disappears. So I don't know that we've adequately addressed that in the post-colonial period, in the post-colonial period.
Not only does it not disappear, but was it, I think the word is epigenetics. We realize that we pass on this trauma through our DNA. Mm-hmm.
And it's for men as well. It's for men as well who are also a part of the trauma, because to be forced to rape or impregnate a woman is also a trauma for the man.
Let's just stick a pin right here. This is why at some point we are going to explore, maybe not on this radio because this is a different type of platform, the danger and violence of this culture pull and train and the peer pressure that is violence on young men that are not prepared for sex. And let me tell you something. Nobody is prepared for sex in public in front of other people.
No.
But the other thing is it's a culture. It's a power play. It's making women as second class citizens that she has no feeling, and I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
She is property.
Mm-hmm. And that's true.
And I want to say this to young men who have been encouraged into a culture of transactional sex, but more importantly, like prostitution and buying sex. I am not diminishing sex work because people do it because they're struggling and they have to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But recognize the trauma, men, in your own body when you engage in an intimate sex when you have no regard for.
Yeah.
And then I want you, because I've actually heard and seen men struggle with it, don't mind where eyes be, but the point is that they like, how am I supposed to treat this prostitute?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And think of the language and then what, right?
But you have
we've normalized so much.
Yeah, you have to justify what you do. What we always do is we have to justify why we do what we do, so that when I justify it, it'd be permission
To do it.
And those are the things that people do. I justify.
And I guess you can be sort of understanding if you don't know this person is just being a mean person toward you. This is a group of men that don't know you. But I think the trauma is perhaps even greater when it's someone you know and trust. And I think in the Bahamas, this is one of our serious challenges. It is within our homes, it is our neighbors, it's our fathers, it's our brothers. We have to find a way, because that's to me a sort of double, sometimes triple violation on the person, because to trust, and you mentioned trust already, is gone. And it's a real attack on the family. I know we want to talk about families a lot and what do we need to do. And it's not about blaming anyone, men or women or anyone in particular, but it's really about understanding what our history is, what the root causes of this violence really is, and how can we begin forward. The Bahamas did a very good gender-based violence study several years ago, I think 2015, somewhere around there. Awesome recommendations. We have lots of recommendations coming from the international community. We know basically, in an intellectual way, what needs to happen, but how do we get that to our wider community, but our so about belief system. You know what I mean? Because it's that's where the challenge is. So we hear it, we know the laws around
it.
It's
so deep rooted.
Yeah, it's so deep rooted. How do you pull that away and actually address it? So we influence how we teach our boys and girls. Do we teach our boys to be violent? I don't know that the one saying go be violent, but are
we're not teaching them anything.
Exactly.
And they're absorbing what they're seeing and trying to make sense of conflicting messages. Mm-hmm. I want to go to the phone line and then I want to talk about Father Thompson and Bradley Roberts for a moment.
Okay.
Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green, and you guess how you doing?
Good morning, and thank you for your patience.
Right, man. First thing I'd like to make a note of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing I would like to make a note on, right? We are really too old to be talking about pull and train.
No, we're not too old to be talking about it. Because here's what the problem is, that many of us experienced it, whether we were forced to participate as girls, and we never talked about it. We didn't talk about it enough. And now here I am, 49, right? Having known about it happening when I was in school, having observed scenes driving through New Providence, and here I am now at 49 realizing that we have not tackled it. We have not created a space to protect our children to the point where people who are political opportunists would use that language in their war campaign against each other, not even against the opponent, against each other within their own party. No, we haven't talked about it enough. Yeah. Sorry, I got a little upset just now. Carl, I come into you, but let me tell you why I want to talk about Father Thompson and Bradley Roberts. Father Thompson said, you don't become a man until you turn 40. Right? And Bradley Roberts say, and I'm paraphrasing him, he said, you don't become a man until you turn 60. But I think what he meant was you don't realize what it means fully to be a man until you're 60. We need to tell young boy them that. Because a lot of the violence we see, the poor interpersonal behavior or conflict, is rooted in a lack of confidence in what it means to be a man. A lot of these young boy them are performing masculinity. That's why I did love the TikTok stud challenge. The TikTok stud student challenge and interrogating gender-based violence and masculinity. Right? I'm not encouraging young women to be studs. That's not what we're doing. But there's, in that cadre of content, there's a man with a Jamaican flag and a man with a Bahamian flag. They both have on the massive hubcap coin chain, and they both have the white pencil line around their head, right? So they're signifiers of Caribbean masculine culture, right? Mm-hmm. The Bahamian man is doing the dance, with like the whip-wap dance. And the Jamaican man is looking at him and screw face and pull his machete out, the bag, the school bag, right? Because they perform boys, right? Pull the machete out of the school bag, pose, screw up his face. The Bahamian sees that, shifts gear, screws up his face, pulls a gun out the bag, right? I realize that TikTok opportunity for us to explore how young people are reconciling with masculinity. Is masculinity evolving naturally in the Caribbean, or are young people just performing masculinity? And what does it mean in your society when young girls are performing masculinity? Is it because they realize that you're only safe when you act like a man?
And actually, that is some women who have been raped. That's, they say what they do as soon as they've been raped by, whether it's a friend or a family member or it's a stranger, they change their appearance. They alter their appearance, and they usually take on the persona of the male because they feel that it will never happen to them again if they dress this way. So there is some merit to what you're saying because it has happened.
And we have these stories. The thing I thought about just now while you were talking is the Gollin story. The woman, the bird who becomes a woman, or is she a woman who becomes a bird to protect herself, right? Are we performing femininity, right, in the same way in the Bahamas? Have we been forced to perform femininity in response to masculinity in front of us, right? And I think these are all themes that we must explore. And I want to say to that caller, I'm not dissing you. I want you to call back every day, right? But no, we're not going to stop. We're not too old to talk about that culture, that behavior. The problem is we never talked about it. And it's happening. I want you to know it's happening.
It is happening.
Right now, yesterday, day before yesterday, somebody in their car filmed the video. They say, see this abandoned house? This is where the young people has come. And while he was standing there filming the video, two pairs, boy and a girl, they walk past. They gave him commentary. See, young people, sometimes you give yourself away. Nobody would have known you were associated with that house if you didn't say nothing while you were walking past it. That's why you need to stay in school.
But we also have to look at social media, the influence of social media. We didn't have that 10, 20 years ago, but now you have it, and it's instant. And we use that. We don't know how to not use something. So we film it, and we're not recognizing what we're doing when we film it. We think that that's cute, and then we send it out. So we really, that's that stop sign again. We don't know when to stop sharing, and when information is just degrading to somebody else, mm-hmm. when yeah. it is also violent, and mm-hmm. we think that that's funny. Mm-hmm. So even that we have to address, because yeah. and they're seeing everything, and nothing is sacred anymore.
Yeah, and that brings to mind, you know, should our message then be changing slightly, or maybe medium mm-hmm. need to be changing? Because we've been talking about these issues for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
More than 20 years ago, at least, I've been talking about it. And so it's our young people are not necessarily hearing us. And this is why I was insisting mm-hmm. that we have youth on this panel mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we target youth.
Okay.
Because it's a conversation for them.
Well.
And we have to change the way we communicate to them yeah. because they are not communicating the same way we do. They're not going to be listening to this radio show, for an example. They no. might.
Yeah.
yeah.
But if it's on,
the replay, if yeah. the replay is on and somebody's right, playing it, right. yeah.
Exactly. So we also have to be innovative in the way we're addressing the issue. And it has to be multi-tiered. It's not one solution.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we wanted the psychologists on the board. We want the youth on the board. We want the police on the board. We want people who work in gender violence on the board, civil society. We know that this is a very complex issue that must be tackled in a you know, multiplicity of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope that we can get at least have that kind of conversation and continue this conversation mm-hmm. even beyond the 19th.
Absolutely. Okay. I got a great text here, but I got two callers. Let's go to the phone line. We got this text here. And then, of course, I always have something next to say. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's a lot of Ellen good, what you're saying. I can appreciate some of the things that you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems as though everything is directed at the man.
Hold on. Pause. Hold on. Pause. I just want you to pause because there's you have a problem with your line, okay? I was going to... So what he said, he wanted us to pause for a second because he feels like everything we're talking about is directed at the man, mm-hmm. right? And I just want to say it could feel that way at first. Maybe you came into the conversation, but I started the conversation by framing it out that this is not just about women as victims of gender-based violence, but it's also important to explore the spaces in which men are victims of gender-based violence so that we can understand why men are perpetuating gender-based violence, right? We're not beating them up at all. Let's go to the next caller and text. I got your text. I got to read this one. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Greenley. Yes, probably we got off on the wrong foot this morning, right?
Come on, be good.
This is factual information. I'm not making this up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even if I try. You realize that prostitution is the world's oldest profession, which means that before man was creating means by food, they was buying sex, which means that technically, you would never get rid of prostitution. I'm not condoning it, but it is what it is.
Okay, so I appreciate what you're saying. Now, I am an intersectional human rights advocate, right? I'm looking beyond capitalism.
Did I lie about what I said? Is it not the world's oldest profession?
It's not the world's oldest profession. That's a lie. That's, see?
You don't think so?
First of all, I'm telling you. Hold on, I'm telling you, prostitution cannot be the world's oldest profession. That's just the truth. That is a part of the slur, right? That is a part of the normalization of the degradation of women, mm-hmm. right? Now, here's the next thing. Prostitution in and of itself is not illegal. It's solicitation that is illegal. And that's another important conversation that we refuse to have. Because when you realize that it's solicitation that's illegal and not the prostitution, then you realize it's the where the power sits in the relationship, right? And then you get a sense of why people are engaged in the behavior. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important that when policymakers create new laws, that they give you the rationale and they talk through it so you understand why the law exists the way that it does, right? But here's the next thing. Here's what we know. You see, when these people say among us, that's also a self-perpetuating capitalist and imperialist mechanism. The poor will always be among us if we refuse to balance, change, equalize. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is share the money equally right now, and the poor will not be among us. That's logic, right? These are some of the things, the self-perpetuating mechanisms that keep us trapped and rooted in these plantation-like states. But let me go back to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green, good morning to you again.
Good morning, good morning.
Ms. Green, I don't know why he said you're too old to be talking about that. And you're never too old to be talking about anything because conversation brings awareness also.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as a matter of fact, I forgot about that since you guys started talking about it this morning, but that do exist. That still exists. It used to exist. And it still exists today.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it's a real conversation that needs to be had.
Mm-hmm. And if it was just a natural thing that young people do or that people do, then a political party would not have weaponized it, right, in their campaign. That's all I'm saying. Yes, sir.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you very much for your contribution. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Hello, I heard the conversation earlier, but I didn't get to really see what the gentleman was talking about that you spoke about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing you said that I know is true is the demonization of the female, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the story of Mary of Magdala, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a contemporary time now, if you see a woman with 12 holy men or spiritual men or whatever, just 12 men in general, one would tend to conclude that maybe she is the prostitute. But this is one of the things that the church did earlier. And they said that she was a prostitute, which is totally false. It's a survival tactic, you know, women of different standards, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in a contemporary sense right now, in this day and time, when you look at it, as long as there's destitution, there will be prostitution because it's out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a female approach me the other morning in the front of the food store. She was in no way a prostitute, but she had a young gentleman with her. This disturbed me. It was her son, I guess, because I think I knew one of her family members. And as I came out of the store and ran into the car with my children, asked me for a couple of dollars to help with her son's lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wearing locks, and so I looked at it. I didn't say anything. I just gave it to her. But you really think she wanted to ask a stranger for that?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, we must stop and realize life is different now, even though I'm not going to be a liberal in every sense of the word. But even the narratives about the poor would always be with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to realize, as you have this anti-imperialist capitalistic outlook, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are really ensuring that the poor stays amongst us, Ms. Green. And
mm-hmm.
also, the narrative of helping the poor is really numerology of getting rid of the poor. But they find subtle ways to do it, just like the hospital there, the education system, the hospital system. If you're poor, you're going to die now. There's a death panel going on somewhere, but you determine where it is. A friend of mine told me that he was bitten by a dog. He went to rent a house. It's a quick scenario. Quick, please.
Mm-hmm.
And he was bitten by some dogs in the yard of the tenant that he went to rent a house from. And so he went to the hospital. He made a video of it. He was carrying on. He said they referred him to Doc Stars, believe it or not. He, I think, is initially said $3,000 or he had to pay $1,500 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So with that type of scenario, you know, I don't know what the hoopoo-hooray is all about politics. And it's about us. I'm sick and tired of this place, really and truly. You know, the place is filthy. I saw a young man last week, 6 or 7 of them on bicycles during school hours. I don't know. They should be in school. Nobody seems to be caring. Everything goes here. That's the way it is. Everything from traffic to the law to whatever. Enforcement. It's sickening, man, for people our age. But I'll leave to this. You don't have to listen to the old, you know. But the wise can't get the young can't get wise without taking counsel from the old. So let's stop this BS.
Absolutely. And if they don't take counsel directly, they will take counsel indirectly through observation. Okay, two more callers. I'm sorry, we got to go quickly. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Yeah, Ms. Green.
Hi.
How are you doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
Dave, I heard you use a scripture that the poor will always be with us, right?
I mean, I don't use it. I just is referencing. Yeah.
And somebody has $40,000, $50,000, which is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That millionaire would consider that person as a poor person.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you could look at it from that angle.
Like it's relative, right? But that speaks to what an affliction in our heart.
Yeah.
I got
but
you.
But back on to what you said, I think it's different level of prostitution.
Because a lot, listen, hold on. Every relationship is usury. That's why you pay constant attention to the boundaries, right? Our boundaries, so that we ensure that we're not abusing somebody in that space. So every relationship is usury, and many relationships are transactional, even if they don't, are not
okay, Ms. Green,
prostitution.
I know you have to go, so let me be quick.
Yes, sir, go on.
Men, people don't know that they have men prostitutes that prostitute with women, you know.
Yeah.
They don't go with men. They go with women. Mm-hmm. They prostitute themselves with women.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And not only that.
Hold on.
I say, a prostitute is, I think sex for exchange of anything is prostitution.
I feel you. But this world is so transactional.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's a category, and I got to go, there's a category of people, it's not just men, it's also women, called hobosexuals. People who are unhoused, desperate for a housing, safe housing situation, so they develop or feign, pretend, romantic interest in someone.
Yeah, just for security.
Yeah, for housing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women...
You have to go, Ms. Cooper. Let me say this here.
Yeah.
People think prostitution is bad women. You know it is a bad... You can have one woman go to bed with 10 different men and have something to show. Have maybe some apartments, a nice car, a piece of property, something like that. Then you have another woman goes with 10 men and don't have nothing to show. That's a bad woman.
I have
nothing to show. That's bad.
I hear you, producer.
If you have something to show, you're a industrious woman.
Listen, thank you. Producer, if you don't play George Simonette, 8 Babies for me and take us to a break, and caller, you got 30 seconds. Caller, you there?
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Hi, good morning. You got 30 seconds.
Two things. The poor, it depends on how you use it. The poor will always be among us. It's simply a statement that poverty is not material. It's intellectual, emotional, spiritual poverty with a failure of empathy and imagination. The poor, they will be with us. If you use that as a phrase that Jesus said, what he's saying to them is that you will always have the poor people among you that you could serve later, but I won't be with you for too long. On prostitution, the reason why solicitation is wrong is because if you put prostitution as being illegal, there'll be no marriage in respect to that. And the oldest profession in the world is actually, if you use the evolution, it's a hunter-gatherer, tooler, healer, shaman, farmer.
Mm-hmm.
If you use the Bible, it's Adam, stewardship and tendering. God placed him in the garden and says, take care, dress, and keep it all, cultivate and garden whatever you want. So prostitution came in 1888 from Rudy Kipling. I can't remember the book. I think it was On the City Wall or City on the Wall or something of that. So it's not historically correct. It's just a tongue-in-cheek thing.
I got you. Thank you very much. All right, producer, we got to go to a break? Okay, caller, I'm so sorry. If you could hold until the other side of the break. I can be honest with you guys. This was not the conversation that I was expecting this morning. So I'm very excited, as excited as the callers. And thank you for your break. When we get back from the break, the producer can play 8 Babies by George Simonette. So we could learn a thing or two about ourselves. Because there is a connection.
Mm-hmm.
There is a connection. Mm-hmm. Thank you, callers. Thank you, producer. We're going to a break. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Print Masters a piece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
So I had me a gal who was loyal and true. When she left me, I thought I would faint. Now I scrub all the floors, and I don't mind the chores, but I do have one minor complaint.
So she left me behind with eight babies to mind, and a house in good order to keep. While she's out of sight, I stay home every night, and I rock those eight babies to sleep.
While singing high.
Good morning, welcome back to On the Clock with Eight Babies Green. That's what I should have called myself from the top of the show. I tell you, I didn't know what we was talking about this morning. My name today is Eight Babies Green, because if I have to, I go out there and make it. I tell this joke, I drop out of COB four times. If they have me back, I'll go back and drop out again, because the learning is in the margins. And my duty, if I got to make eight babies to make this thing work, I only have a short amount of time, but I could make eight babies in 6 years. I could do it. Good morning, caller.
How you doing, Aaron?
I'm good, thank you.
I just want to make a clarification here.
Okay.
The millionaires,
mm-hmm.
they work for the billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
That's the crux of it.
Whether they know it or not.
Whether they know it or not. You know, the world is basically a plantation society.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get the arguments straightened out, because people can serve somebody.
Yeah. Listen.
One way or the other.
You see how you say that? I have to get this out of my head, right? Because women are the most valuable thing on the plantation, and also the most feared thing on the plantation. Mm-hmm. And that's why I stick to this idea that we need to explore men's early or foundational relationships with their caregivers and the trauma that exists there and that is unprocessed. Because men are mad that that mother is not the strong woman that she purports to be in every situation. Like, why are you only this strong woman when it comes to mashing me down, right? But you let this man come in here and mash you down, and when I stand up to do something, because it's inherent, Miles Monroe used the term. The rage vomits out of me. As a young man, I must, and then you stop me. Yeah. And you carry on like I'm a child. But when I am at that food store, waking instead of studying, waking instead of living life and understanding what it means to be a young man, and I come back and you count the money, and you just feel like I didn't give you any of all the money. You ready to mash me down like I'm like I don't exist. Right? And so I say to people, like, look, you're allowed to distrust things you fear. Mm-hmm. And if we recognize that men are allowed to distrust things that they fear, then maybe we'll realize that they fear women. They fear the part of themselves when they were a boy, right? That will overpower them, the man. And it's because they've never been allowed to say to their mother, Mom, I know you were struggling, but you hurt me. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you were wrong. I just want you to recognize that you hurt me. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you didn't need to do what you thought you had to do in the moment. I just want you to acknowledge that you hurt me. I want you all to see that, because when you see these interactions with these men and these women, to some men, they can't open their mouth to say, but you hurt me. And so they have to speak with their hand. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you hurt me even more when you show me your vulnerability, because when I get difficult, you start to say you're just like your no good pa. And then you call the no good pa to come and deal with me. Mm-hmm. That produces even more anger in me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so give us the time and the date, the location for this panel discussion.
Okay, well, the date is Wednesday, the 19th of November at 6 o'clock in the Franklin Wilson RBC Auditorium on the main campus, Oaksfield. And what we're doing, we have several panelists. We have Mrs. Cleopatra Christie, administrator of Bahamas Crisis Center. We have Ms. Rose Simmons, who is the Inspector Rose Simmons, who is at the Royal Bahamas Police Force Domestic Unit. We have Ms. Alicia Wallace, Executive Director of Equality Bahamas. Then we have Dr. Richard Adley, the psychologist, but he's going to be addressing from the male perspective and youth perspective. Then we have two universities, Dr. Deval Davis, who is a student trustee, and we also have Mr. Vincenzo Lockhart, who is also a psychology major, and they will be giving their youth perspective and also maybe some and recommendations about how we could move this dialogue forward.
Absolutely.
Yes, so it's on next Wednesday, the 19th, at 6 o'clock at the RBC Auditorium.
At UB. All right, we're going to end the show with this text. I've been holding on to it for a while. Texter says, I don't want to seem brash, but I have to be practical. Many women appreciate when you rough them up a bit. For instance, Mr. Ben in Parliament admitted that his then-girlfriend questioned when he stopped beating her. What do you do when women love to be beaten and see it as love? Serious question. I think that's one of the subject matters that will be interrogated deeply at the event, the panel discussion, Wednesday, the 19th of November, Franklin Wilson Auditorium, UB, 6 p.m. And listen, y'all keep sending the text.
Free.
Oh, and it's free. It's free, and they can have seating, complimentary seating. I love plenty free things at one time. And the AC free, too.
Yes,
and you guys, come out, join the conversation. This is one of the most important conversations we're going to have. Yeah. Anyway, this is Eight Babies Green. Me and George Simonette, we got to go talk. Something going wrong. We got to go talk. You guys have a great day, because Guardian Radio AM with C is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.